Welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, your host and producer. Delighted to be with you today on February 26th in the Oakland studio 132.com with our excellent sound engineer, BZ Lewis, and his 6 Emmy Awards sitting out front. And I am here with Karen Song in the studio. She's the CEO of Stylematic, which is a hot fashion tech startup which just launched last week at Broadway Studios with The Party. So before we chat with Karen, let me tell you about the Global Product Management Talk. We're a weekly broadcast about... Let's see, where am I? Hold on. The Global Product Management Talk is a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio channel. You can find us at www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. That is our Twitter handle if you are following us on Twitter at PRODMGMTTALK, and that's the hashtag we use to follow the discussion, PRODMGMTTALK. You can listen to archives of over 100 episodes, and this is our third year anniversary of the Global Product Management Talk. We've been broadcasting for over a year. Previous to that, we were a Twitter chat. So there you can listen to speakers talking about product excellence, managing products, and all aspects of achieving product success. So we are brought to you this week by the third annual Global Study of Product Team Performance on the Dynamics of Successful Product Teams. Take the survey before April 7th by going to a URL that you can find at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. So if you're listening, I apologize. My notes are a bit messed up here, so I'm a little bit flustered, but that's okay. So coming up on March 29th in Oakland is Startup Product Open. You can find out more about it at startupproduct.com. It's an innovative unconference for passionate product people to talk about their products, process, prototypes, and get ideas and meet their colleagues in the community. At Startup Product Open, early bird tickets are available until this Friday for under $100, so definitely search for Startup Product Open. Thank you to our premier sponsor, the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, on the web at www.aipmm.com. Since 1998, they are the only worldwide certifying body of product professionals, with the certified product manager, certified product marketing manager, agile product manager, certified innovation leader, and certified brand manager. We have an excellent Friday webinar series. Check them out at www.aipmm.com. Thank you to Webcast Digest on the web at Webcast Digest. It is a daily curated listings of free online digital events for your continuous learning opportunities. When you subscribe, you get access to all of the URLs to register and the replays from each event. You can find out more about all of these things at startupproduct.com. The movement for product excellence through community events and immersive educational opportunities. So today I have Karen in the studio with me. So we're going to have fun. And let me tell you a bit about Karen. I'm very excited to have her here because she's a member of the startup product community. She's attended meetups and she's really come through the whole process in the San Francisco startup community of doing a startup weekend, of demoing, prototyping, and iterating on her product. So very excited to hear from her what that process has been like. But let me tell you about her because I do. So she's a fashion enthusiast who loves to travel, explore new technologies, and adventure sports. She would love to shake up San Francisco and the fashion world by democratizing fashion. She graduated from Stanford with a degree in human biology and has worked in various startup media jobs. She's the CEO of Stylematic, which is a fun and addictive mobile app that delivers style recommendations and instantly complements user preferences. The app leverages its user base to provide a global crowdsourced perspective, for personalizing fashion recommendations. So how it works is you snap a picture, you scan the barcode of an item, and then the app delivers fashionable items to fit your style. The more you use the app, the more personalized your style recommendations become. Stylematic's network weighs in on your prospective fashion choices to help boost your confidence and personalize your style feed. So you can find out more about Stylematic.co and download the app at Stylematic.co, STYLEMATIC.CO, and on Twitter at Stylematic App, STYLEMATIC.APP. Okay, and so I'm excited to talk about Karen, not only about the competitive space for mobile fashion applications, but also about the whole how you came to do this, what problem you were trying to solve, and what's it been like. You just did a soft launch, and I didn't make it. So she had a launch party last week at Broadway Studios, which I missed, so I need to hear all about it. So is there anything else that you want to say before we dive in?
I think that's a great intro, Cindy. So I actually started Stylematic by going to a Women 2.0 startup weekend. There were about 9 people in the group, and we brainstormed, generated ideas, posted our ideas on Post-it notes, and just tried to synthesize what sort of problem we wanted to solve. I am an introvert, and I'm not accustomed to being around lots and lots of other women, especially in Silicon Valley. So imagine my terror when I walked into the room and attempted to join a group, especially a group of 9 women. So I sat down in the group. I kept my mouth shut for most of the brainstorming session, and just slowly over time was able to develop this internal sense of self-confidence. My ideas were able to come through just as the girls started being more collaborative. We started developing rapport. And I felt myself just really gaining strength from being around this type of very supportive community, very female-focused community where my thoughts and ideas weren't going to be shot down immediately. And so over time, I took charge of the group. I actually started speaking up more, helping to direct the group, especially since we had an impending deadline. And we ended up pitching at the event, and the girls went on to continue with Stylematic. Over the course of those couple of weeks, and months, I think as women we grew just from collaborating with each other, from doing customer development on the idea, and we finally honed in on the idea of a pocket stylist, which would enable you to get recommendations over time by just snapping a picture, scanning the barcode of an item. So we were in mostly prototypical phase and sort of reaching out to investors. We applied to the Stanford Basis Program and were accepted into their challenge. So over the course of that, I was able to just continue with Stylematic. And that's been my story so far.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of people attend Women 2.0. Is it several hundred people? So there was actually a hacker
It was a hackathon.
Excellent.
That happened over the course of a weekend.
Excellent.
Which I had not intended to attend. Actually, I got a link to it last minute. I wanted to go see a movie with my boyfriend, and this is what I ended up doing.
Now, do you have a coding background?
Not at all.
Oh, wow.
So I graduated Stanford with a degree in human biology. It's a very broad major, and people who graduate with that degree end up doing a broad range of things after graduation. So, you know, I am just a very creative person and a very persistent person. And I think this combination pushes me to do things that are outside of my comfort zone quite often. And I don't see challenges.
Right.
I just see solutions.
But to come from focusing on biology and human biology into the tech world, what even got you here to Silicon Valley? Or did you already live here?
What got me here was when I was a kid, I set foot on Stanford campus, and this sense of, I don't know, it was just this strange feeling that washed over me. And I decided that I had to come out to California. You know, my little 9-year-old, 10-year-old brain was probably just picking up on all the activity, all the movement. And so that was the reason, you know, I came to Stanford and just decided to stay in the area and just capitalize on all of the intellectual energy here.
Excellent. So there you go. If you are looking for the Silicon Valley experience, Stanford is a good place to start.
Absolutely.
There definitely is something in the air around there. And then there's certainly lots of sights to see down around Palo Alto and in Mountain View.
And they're incredibly supportive of startup ventures.
For sure.
So I think Snapchat came out of Stanford, Google, Yahoo. They're incredibly supportive of their student body and empower you to think that you can do whatever you set your mind to.
So there you go. You don't even have to study computer science or human-computer interaction. You just have to go to Stanford. And
yeah.
So I just want to do a shout-out to our listeners and participants, Gil Zilberfeld, who is tweeting from Israel, who's listening. He's going to find a way to debate something that we say. So bring it on, Gil. And shout-out to Alicia Dixon. She says, the Karen song is singing my tune. Also an introverted female in tech. So I think I am too, but nobody else agrees with me. But certainly I'm very happy sitting behind a computer and interacting with people. And also I just want to do a shout out to the community and my new friends in South Florida. I attended Product Camp South Florida on Saturday, and what a great opportunity. Thanks to Jennifer Doctor and Barry Doctor. I call them the dynamic duo, the dynamic product management duo. It was great to see Steve Johnson and all of the other people there. And also, if you're looking for transcripts from events, you can go to storify.com/prodmgmttalk, and you can see Twitter transcripts from previous talks as well as product events. So Gil is doesn't have anything to debate yet. So you started out with not any preconceived notion of wanting to do a startup or build a mobile app.
I went into the startup weekend completely cold. I had no intention of doing a fashion startup.
Wow. So were you attracted to this group that were working on this? So you just sat down with other women and you just all started talking, looking for a problem that you all shared, or?
I had intended to stay for 20 minutes and I was terrified. And I mean, there was probably pizza on the table, and that's probably why I decided to sit there.
I appreciate your honesty.
So you never know where energy collects.
Right.
And you just sit and you let things sift through your mind and you never know. Mostly ideas come from other people. Ideas are a dime a dozen. But it's what you do with those ideas that matters.
Ah, that is a great tweet. It's what you do with the ideas that matter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Kylun, K-H-I-L-U-E-N.
Okay.
My uncle used to call me that.
Nice. Okay, so take us on the journey. What happened after that?
What happened after that? So we actually went through a program called Startup Monthly. So a man named Yuri approached us after the event. So a group of five of us continued to, you know, reiterate on the concept and just develop the business model. And then from there, the girls, you know, got tied into other obligations and commitments, you know, their jobs, I think someone got married. And then I kept going. I moved forward with the idea.
So tell us about Startup Product Monthly.
So Startup Monthly is a pseudo, you know, pre-accelerator program that helps startups to really hone in on their idea before applying to accelerator programs, formal accelerator programs like 500 Startups.
Awesome.
And it's run by Yuri Rabinovich. So I think he actually has acquired a seed fund by now. And he's looking to invest in startups.
Yeah, I think Startup Monthly. So was there a cost to that? What was the commitment?
It was a very minimal cost. So something around $200 to participate. I'm not sure what the situation is now.
And that was, so we're talking about a couple of years ago?
A couple of years ago, yeah. But, you know, again, ideas are a dime a dozen. It's about the execution and staying with the execution. So I've just continued onward with the concept. And I've gone through several iterations. So it's been, you know, about 2 years of just sort of conceptualizing and then 8 months of just focused product development.
So when you honed in on the idea, before you started doing development, what kind of feedback, what kind of customer development, what kind of planning? So I look at it as 7 phases to bring a product from birth to death. And so the first phase is the conceive. So you had these great resources to help you with the conception. And then you go into plans, which is where the customer development and the testing. And I always suggest prototype as much as possible.
Absolutely.
The most expensive thing to do is to build.
Absolutely. The first phase was just brainstorming, throwing everything up on a piece of paper, breaking those up into post-it notes. The second phase was literally just cutting out the shapes of the iPhone. And screen by screen, you know, using colored pencils, highlighters, whatever it took to just sort of draw the different features we were considering. The next phase was just, you know, going to a cafe, asking people, you know, would you use this feature? Would you do that? What kind of problem do you have when you're shopping?
Excellent. So again, go back to the problem that you saw needed to be solved.
You know, for me, I have problems. It's a very painful process, shopping for me. I think most women enjoy going to the mall, taking their time, browsing. For me, I hate it. I just want to go to the store and buy what I want to buy. And, you know, if I want to buy a pair of pants, I just want to go to the store and have someone tell me what to buy, what pair of pants would look great on me. And in the most painful process is trying something on and seeing that it doesn't fit. And then having to go home, think about it, return it, or just being deterred from shopping altogether because you feel so bad about yourself and that outfit during that moment. And
I just have to comment on, so there's no visual here, but Karen is lovely and doesn't look like you would have any problem finding clothes off the shelf or off the rack. and looking good in anything you put on. So you're telling my story how difficult it is to buy clothes and what a waste of time. You know, unless I want to go into a store that has everything I already want and only my size.
Exactly. I'm a very utilitarian person. Yes, I don't like wasting time. And a huge part of why I dress well is because, you know, my fiance, he selects a lot of my outfits for me. Or we'll go to the store and he'll tell me, doesn't look good, looks good. And so, you know, I just figured I wanted to create a tool that would, a very supportive fashion friend who knows your preferences, who is essentially like my fiance, has bookmarked everything in his brain and can just spew out, you know, recommendations or give you an honest opinion.
So, right. So I would think it would need to have a mirror on it that I could adjust the mirror until I liked how I looked.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very sensitive issue for people.
It totally is. I mean, it goes to the core of people's self-esteem and identity, and especially in this society when we're just confronted. It's such an issue for young women.
For young women.
I have two daughters, and and I've always been – someone recently told me my style is academic geek. You know, I look like a professor who – you know, I just like to wear sweaters and what are these? I usually have a button-up shirt. But no, it's a huge issue, and so much of we're bombarded with certain styles that I think are kind of disgusting.
Highly
and send the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, and so, you know, such sexually provocative fashions for young girls. And it surprised me when I realized that people will dress what appears, in my judgment, would be they're dressed very sexy. They're sending a message. But when you speak to them, that's not their intention at all. They just liked how it looked or they felt good in it, but they were not intentionally dressing to send off a message.
Yes, and that's my mission with Stylematic is to help people brand themselves the way they want to essentially be expressed.
Ah, these are great. Okay, I have to – the intention of Stylematic app is – tell me that again –
is to help every individual express who they really are.
Excellent. So by individuals, does this work for men also?
For men also. We are actually trying to, you know, start a San Francisco fashion movement. And we've, you know, collaborated with startups like Beta Brand, who are mostly crowdsourcing fashion for men. And we really want to just shake things up here. I think a lot of men in Silicon Valley have disposable income that they're willing to spend to look good for a date in particular. And if they just knew what to wear, and they're incredibly analytical people, they just had their style profile analyzed, and it was just a very painless process. Very time-efficient process. I think most men here would probably do it. This would be the perfect experimental segment to work with.
Now, I've been to startup events, and I participated in Startup Weekend, and that was what they were trying to solve. They were just focusing on guys and how they should choose an outfit. So it's interesting to me that, you know, you went both, it doesn't matter, you know, woman or anything else.
Yeah.
And so great. So tell me more about how does the app know what looks good on me? I know I can imagine how I would put in, but how does it do it? Through surveys? Do I have to answer a lot of questions?
There's a very brief onboarding process at the beginning of the application where you fill out your body type, your color preferences, your brand preferences, your preferred looks, so bohemian, classic, alternative, rag and bone, etc. After you fill out this onboarding process, you're taken to an automatic recommendation feed that gets refined over time based on the actions you take within the application. So you can take a picture of things you like on the street or in a magazine or in a store, and we'll pull out the color and the texture information to display items across brands that are similar with those attributes. We also have a barcode scanning feature we have to hook up to retailers. So it's not currently working, but the whole idea is that we pull out the information associated with the barcode to display more targeted recommendations in your feed as well. And every action you take, wishlisting, starting a style question, sharing or recommending the items to other people, all these actions feed back into the recommendation to further refine your recommendation set.
Awesome. Okay.
We also have a web application that acts as a supplement to the mobile web, to the mobile application. So there's actually a portal feature in the web that will allow you to take the recommendations you're getting through the mobile app and chat about it in a portal with people from all over the world.
So let's go back to how did you zero in on which features you were going to build first? So for product managers, that's always the most difficult thing, prioritizing the features and the requirements and isolating what should be the MVP or what will be the most salient one that will enough to attract users. Conservative enough to not cost too much so it can still be iterated on.
I think we're just looking for what the main pain point for people is, which is they don't know what to buy. So for that particular pain point, we decided that an automatic feed would be the best option, because people don't want to have to go searching for things. They want to be told what they might like and potentially over time, self-select into their preferences. Because you actually might think you're a classic person, but based on your behavior, you're a bohemian person.
Yes, yeah. That's right, because I never thought of myself as an academic person, but that's what I was.
Other people have
right.
been.
Right. So it's actually, for me, it was really the Boston prep kind of.
Are you from
look.
Boston?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Concord, Massachusetts,
okay.
where the Revolutionary War started.
Yes, totally. I grew up next to Hingham.
Oh, no way.
Yes, way. Yes. So you weren't around, but the bicentennial was a big deal then.
Do you miss it?
Not at all.
No,
I love it here.
Yeah, I love it here too. I wouldn't go back.
Sorry to our friends in Boston, and also shout out to the Startup Product Boston community, which is growing and vibrant. Yes.
Great. Shout out to Boston folks.
Yes, yes. Thanks for staying there. No offense. So you figured out the MVP. So how did you scale? Yeah, that seems to be a really hard process. And even... you know, how are you funding this?
We have an angel investor who's given us around $300,000 just to iterate on the product and focus on the product. And I think that is just the right amount of funding for us to really refine, you know, the MVP and test it. We don't have major plans for marketing until probably a couple months out. And then we'll probably approach Series A for, just our outreach to retailers when we're ready to move forward in those business partnerships and really scale.
So for $300K, for what amount of time, does that mean that you're just paying the developers and no one else?
Mostly, yeah. The focus is on product. So, you know, for this time frame, all of our resources are going to be going to developers and doing customer development with the product.
Awesome. So How's it going? And tell us about the launch party. That was a soft launch?
It was a soft launch, yes. We were quite surprised at the turnout. I think around 300 people showed up. Hap Klopp, the founder of North Face, was there. Sinead and, you know, a lady from One World Children's Fund. And it ended up just being just an incredible event, just seeing the eclectic, you know, collection of people in the room. We featured 10, you know, up-and-coming designers in San Francisco. We had a balloon drop at the end. You know, there was a DJ. And it was just, there was just a lot of, you know, karma in the room. It was just, there was so much joy. There was so much interest in fash tech and building a community here. And, you know, I think San Francisco is really the perfect place to do this, to merge fashion and technology. There's a lot of interesting things coming in through wearable tech, you know, Google Glass even. There's so many different directions we could take, and I think it just needs to be, you know, sort of guided a bit in terms of making it more cohesive movement. And I know that the mayor, actually, this is one of his initiatives. So, you know, I think I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really, for Stylematic. You know, I've considered New York, but it's just such a different world out there.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so, but it does seem... Well, I can see the parallels, and I can see how, you know, guys in tech would certainly welcome more women coming in from fashion because, you know, it definitely is, technology is very male-based.
Dominated,
fashion seems
yeah.
to be very mm-hmm. women and diverse, you know, so much more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really great move in the right direction. But one thing I would wonder if people in fashion would be intimidated by the brainiacs in tech.
That is such a great question, Cindy. I think people are intimidated on both sides of the spectrum. I think the reason why we haven't had a really killer fashion application, you know, in the App Store is because it's hard, you know, to merge the two worlds of art and technology, right? And they're coming from such different perspectives. I think that, yeah, it's true. I think technologists could be intimidated by, you know, fashion. To some extent, it's not top of mind for them. It probably isn't a part of their personality. You know, they don't want to spend a lot of time dressing themselves and,
I will yeah. say that I see a real change in quote unquote millennials in younger people on both sides really caring about fashion or what they look like, how they're dressing. That was not true, you know, years ago
yeah.
of people who worked with computers necessarily.
I mean, I think with Pinterest and Instagram, there's sort of more of a trend towards, you know, crowdsourcing and discovering and exploring trends. Winello is another application that enables people to really find, you know, the items that they love. And I think that with these platforms and with Facebook, you know, certainly this allows a greater segment of people to maybe feel more ownership or empowered in their choices.
Well, I think it's driving the visual aspect and the importance of design into the product itself and the customer experience, you know, is all about visual. You mentioned Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, and what was the fourth one?
Winello.
So I'm not familiar with this. How do you spell it?
W-A-N-E-L-O. It stands
okay.
for Want, Love, Need, I believe.
Awesome. Okay. So all of these things are driving the whole visual, the taking pictures, the sharing pictures.
Exactly.
That totally taps into that side of the brain, that
the social validation.
The social validation, that even connecting with other humans more, because there's less processing involved to react to a picture than to react to words and translate that into their meanings and through filters and everything else. But pictures are universal.
Absolutely.
So so I just want these things to be used. And this is why I love what you're doing with Stylematic, is I want these technologies to be used to bring people together, not to separate people, not to show differences, and certainly not to disempower anyone.
We are really just trying to build what's, you know, first and foremost really important to us is building a really strong community. And we want Stylematic to support people, help them to feel loved, to bring out the best in who they are. We're trying to move away from this very exclusive, you know, snarky fashion world environment, you know, because people should feel empowered in their choices and feel empowered to express who they really are through the branding, through the clothing that they choose. And we are really trying to just support them in that with Stylematic.
So would it work both ways? So you're talking about people should feel empowered in the fashion choices they make. Do you think that the fashion industry will take note and also reflect
absolutely
more of the different types, shapes, choices, options, you know, preferences
absolutely
of individuals who don't look like they came out of a magazine or they just came from Hollywood?
Absolutely. I think they'll have to. You know, I know a lot of retailers have reached out to bloggers, for instance. This is their touch point for consumers. And on a regular basis, they're always sending people out to do research on what's out there. They'll send people to runway shows in Europe and just sort of source out what's trending, because they need to be informed on what's trending from the people. And, you know, my app, we're just trying to empower, you know, the end user to make their preferences known and to give this data to retailers.
Okay, so how, so through using the app, how is people's personal information communicated, and what are the concerns about privacy or whatever else? Certainly, you know, it's a two-sided kind of coin. I want manufacturers, and I certainly want styles and trends to give me more options and to have a wider range of choices. But I also don't want my personal information being exploited by big brand names, unless they're going to pay me for my information.
I think that's definitely, you know, an understandable concern. You know, we plan on implementing several privacy tiers into the application. Right now, the parameters are just a bit loose because we're trying to build the community. But, you know, whatever friends you're following, you'll be primarily seeing their information in your feed, and you'll be able to comment on and vote on only the items that are appearing in your feed from your close friends in Stylematic. So this information isn't going to be shared with everyone within the Stylematic community, but only the people you feel comfortable interacting with.
And then there's options, I would assume, to include people, block people, or...
Exactly. We have some rules and policies in place. So, you know, any racial comments, any weights of, you know, comments about your body weight, these kinds of users would receive a warning and then be booted off the community with repetitive, you know, violations. So that's we are really trying to establish a very supportive community. And this is, you know, very, very important to us.
So could I meet other people if I like a certain fashion designer, if I like a certain designer or brand, could I meet, are there forums around that brand, or would I meet other people who share those same interests within the app?
Yes. We are actually planning on rolling these features into our upcoming applications, but for now, you can actually follow people who have the same taste as you. So, you know, in the coming week, we'll release a new version where you can follow people who have the same bookmarked items, so the same wishlisted items, and you'll get a reminder or prompt to do that.
And can you see that within the app, you know, small segments of people? Like recently there was a week where people dressed as their favorite comic character without telling anyone, but that was just, they dressed as a comic character in different situations. I know about this because my daughter did it. I had no idea, but she follows all these people on Tumblr, and she learns about trends and fashion and things within, you know, that genre of graphic novels and comic superheroes, which is, you know, they do affect fashion. But so could those kinds of people who like dressing in, you know, as fuzzy animals or things like that?
It's funny you say that, actually, because we're doing a collaboration with a company called Narvelous, and they're developing, you know, a game that's sort of like Second Life that, you know, enables women to, you know, have these virtual avatars that get dressed and party on a cruise ship and go to the mall. And we're thinking about collaborating with them so that, you know, some of the designers and retailers that are coming through the application, we can create virtual versions of them to be in this game. And they're actually throwing a cosplay event in a few weeks that we're going to help them to throw. Yeah.
It was a cosplay week or something.
We're looking for, you know, cosplay retailers, actually, for application.
Oh, okay. Well, I know the person to ask who may know. So can you just explain? We explained terminology. So what exactly is cosplay? So what I think it is, and I don't have the expert, so it's costume play. I mean, they're dressing in the costumes of the characters that they follow or they know about or they want to emulate. And they have all kinds of events and get-togethers and opportunities like that week where they're doing cosplay. So that, there's a big underground community. You know, it's not obvious.
Especially in San Francisco.
It's pretty much all over, and they get together at conventions, but and they're walking around all the time. They just blend in. We can't
even pick them out. But it'd be cool if through Narvelous we were able to create the second world where, you know, you can get dressed with Stylematic virtually and live in this world within Narvelous. This whole fash tech world could really just take on another dimension of its own.
Excellent. So one of the things we talked about before was the competitive space for mobile fashion apps. And there's so many. I just was Googling to see, and they all describe themselves as making your fashion life easier or more affordable or more accessible. So how do you distinguish yourself within that sea? You know, the competitive space. That's the first place I always look at when I'm not so much valuing what the opportunity of the product is.
Well, Stylematic is a practical one-stop shop. So a virtual stylist in your pocket that gives you very practical recommendations in real time based on your previous behavior and what you're doing at the current moment in time, what your needs are. And I think a lot of these fashion applications, you know, they're highly aspirational. They'll give you like a look set of things that include like a $2,000 Prada purse. And they're, you know, very artistic and very, you know, they're different components of what we're doing within these applications. But there isn't a one-stop shop where all of this is happening in a very practical, real way.
So the actual thing is when I'm using Stylematic app and I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, I'm going to this event or I'm you know, meeting these people in this location, what should I wear? And it's raining out. But it's going to be hot where I'm going. So it can actually, it will actually tell me how to dress.
Yes.
But then do I have to go and purchase those things, or does it help me purchase them online, or
it helps
does
it you to plan
tell me
in
what's
advance.
In my yeah. closet?
I mean, you could scan your closet. You could take pictures of everything in your closet if you wanted to. And we would pull all that information from your closet to give you things in the feed. But Stylematic would help you to plan. I mean, so you might have to plan out a few weeks in advance what you're going to buy from, say, J. Crew, look through your feed, look for pants, and find a pair of pants. The app also enables you to find complimentary items. So you can start a style vote and look for things that are complementary to your pair of pants within the application. Or you could start a style vote with things that are in your closet. You could take a picture of a couple dresses in your closet, put it up for a style vote, and just ask, you know, the community, you know, which one should I buy?
I see. So it's really great if you're going on a trip and you're planning ahead what you're going to pack. Or you have a special event that you do need new clothes for,
yes,
and then it can pick and choose with what you already have in your wardrobe.
It can.
So it can actually do a makeover, it sounds like, and also tell you, what to get rid of that doesn't work for you.
Yeah. You know, you can take things from your closet, and maybe you're very, very attached to a particular pair of shoes. You put it up for a style vote, and majority says no, you might want to consider this recommendation. So the app allows people to send recommendations as well for alternatives.
Got it. So you're crowdsourcing your own wardrobe and look, which is really, you know, what the intention of fashion is for. It's for the other people who are looking at you.
Yes.
And also to feel good. You should feel good. But it's really to empower you. So you've said a couple of times that about aspirational, that fashion is aspirational. So what do you mean by that?
Aspirational is that is an interesting term. I think when you say highly aspirational, you think of the people you see in the magazines. So Vogue or Cosmo, those airbrushed, beautiful people with the beautiful, you know, gowns. Or you flip through the magazines or, you watch the movies and you see people wearing items that you could never afford. You want to look like them, but you can't afford to look like them.
Got it. Wearing unaffordable and unattainable.
And it makes you feel worse because you can't attain that look.
Right. And then, you know, people have... are driven to over-purchase or things they can't afford or...
To fill that void.
To fill that void. And people do get hits off of shopping. But I'm like you. I only want to buy something that's going to work for me. Otherwise, I'd rather do something else. Unless I didn't have to worry about money or time, then I might have fun shopping, but
like
it would get boring after a while.
Yeah.
Right. Marissa Meyer doesn't have time. I'm sure she's not even buying the real estate. Other people are doing
stylist,
it. Right. Right. I'd love to have a personal stylist, but basically this is what the app is serving.
Yes.
It's a personal stylist in your pocket.
That tells you what would look great on you at an affordable price and leverages the power of your network to, you know, confirm and make you feel beautiful.
Excellent. So thanks, Gil. So he's been listening to find something he can debate. He says he doesn't know much about fashion, so he doesn't have much to say, but he's still listening. And he's surprised he's finding it, the whole product definition process that we were discussing, very interesting. There's a lot of people who are involved in managing products, and they don't start from, they inherit a product already in place, and it's really a great opportunity to get to think about building a product for yourself that other people find valuable as well. So So exciting. I also wanted to talk about, so what are you finding, what are you learning about yourself? What have you learned about the process? You didn't come into this with any background in building products at all or working with engineers. So tell me how that's been.
It's been amazing. I feel like I've grown so much from this process. I've developed so much self-confidence just simply because, you know, in our society, I think women are, you know, trained to be perfectionists, right? Before you do anything, you need to have a perfect plan. Before trying anything, you need to make sure you have the skills to do it. And, you know, we had discussed imposter syndrome before, and I think a lot of women, particularly successful women, feel this way. They feel like imposters. They feel like they don't own the projects that they've been assigned to. They feel like they're reaching too high when they're actually quite capable of doing what they want to do. And the startup process, this customer development process of taking something that's in your brain and making it into something real that people use, has taught me a lot about the value of making mistakes, you know, making mistakes early, and that it's possible to improve when you set your mind to it. And the more you improve, the more mistakes you make, the more you improve, the more confidence you build because you're achieving your goals. And not only that, you're pushing forward a vision that other people are partaking in. And for me, it's just been such this product, my startup, has been a way to unfold more of who I really am. And that's why this is the culture I'm trying to build with my company, with Stylematic, is that you don't have to come out of the gate being perfect or being a model. You are just as entitled to feeling beautiful and strong.
That is lovely. You're entitled. Yeah, sir. Speaking of entitlement, there is something about entitlement in San Francisco, and some people who aren't used to it, they find it's negative that people should feel entitled to be successful or to achieve what they want with no background or no history or no experience. But it's actually a good thing. It propels people.
It does.
Because if they're going to earn the right to continue feeling entitled, they're going to have to make mistakes.
Exactly.
They're going to have to question that entitlement, I would think, at some point. But you're raising the bar on what is possible and not backing down.
I think you can do whatever you put your mind to. And it's not about what other people think. It's about, you know, loyalty to that internal voice that you feel when you want to grow, when you want to achieve a goal. So for me, that meant, you know, hunkering down, maybe blocking out some outside voices, blocking out imposter syndrome, and really taking ownership over my product, taking ownership over my path, regardless of how unconventional it was.
Excellent. Excellent. So, by the way, I'm talking with Karen Song. She's the CEO of Stylematic App. It is a hot fashion tech startup, which recently had a soft launch. It's also exciting that Karen is part of the startup product meetup community, and she's gone through the process from inception and is now in – would you say this is the first release or what version?
This is our first release. We're planning on releasing another version in 2 months. That will have just a lot more of the features I had described before. And then in 6 months' time, we'll probably have a more official hard launch.
So we've been talking a lot about the experience, the customer experience, but let's talk about some analytics and some data points. How's your user growth been and how are you achieving it? How is it on a daily basis or over time? That has to be, you know, one of the most difficult issues to keep raising the graph.
Yeah, I mean, we've been steadily getting users day by day over time, especially, you know, post-launch, post-soft launch. And we're getting a lot of followers on our social media, a lot of blogger participation. And just a lot of blogs have written about us, too, as we are trying to also cultivate that community. So we've thrown a couple of meetups already, and we plan on continuing, you know, sustained meetups with the fashion bloggers because they're so critical for this whole component of democratizing fashion. So we've just been steadily improving the numbers over time. But at the same time, you know, it's an interesting balance because you want to keep testing the product and keep reiterating on the product. So, you know, once we hit that sweet spot, that is when we'll be, you know, majorly marketing the application and pushing it over that tipping point. So I think this is actually the perfect time period for, you know, sustained user testing and, you know, pivots and iterations.
Well, we'd love to have you do a demo and have this discussion at a startup product meetup here
sure.
in San Francisco. We now have a new community launching in Silicon Valley. We have the vibrant community happening in Oakland with the Startup Product Open Unconference on March 29th. That might also be an opportunity to bring your team because I do see all the different communities have different flavors. And in Oakland, it's artisans, it is fashion, it is more diverse in the types of products. There's a lot of health and senior services and issues that I see being discussed at the Oakland meetups, startup product meetups we've had. And in the San Francisco ones, it's definitely tech and data and health, but from a health IT point of view rather than individual health. So, a shout out to startup product Asheville, North Carolina, that is launching tonight with their first event. They have a bunch of speakers lined up at the Asheville Music Hall. And shout out to Ty and Adrian and all the community there. Wish I was with you. Have a great event. And I will be at the Lesbians Who Tech conference on Friday. It's Lesbians Who Tech and the people who love them, and very excited about that. It's the first happening conference, and it's open to everyone, not just lesbians or females. So that is very exciting. If there's a tech conference that I'm invited to, I will go, and I'm happy to share it because it's always great stuff that comes out of it, and you never know, the connections are so rich. So I'm just thinking about next week, join us on the Global Product Management Talk again when Dan Nguyen, who is the VP of Products at Emotient, will be talking. They are an Edison Awards finalist, and he'll be talking about how product management is different in startups and big companies and what those differences are and how to transition from one to the other. So join us again here. And we're coming to the end of the hour. Is there, you've gotten some great points, Karen. I'm just delighted. Is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with? And definitely here's the opportunity to pitch the product.
Thank you, Cindy. If all of you could just download the Stylematic application today and use it as much as you can, that would be such a help to us. Any feedback you have, go ahead and email me at karen.song@stylematic.co. Thank you so much.
Okay. Great. Now, is there any special... I actually do have, I think we talked about it. An incentive. Let me see what I had. I think we had talked about an opportunity to participate in the Retailer Designer Program. What is that?
Yes, we are actually looking for more retailers and designers to put into our platform. Packaged with that would be publishing your products across our social media as well. So our Pinterest, our Facebook, our Instagram properties. So any retailers or designers who are interested in being displayed within the Stylematic applications feed should also go ahead and email me, karen.song@stylematic.co. It's a very simple process. It would just require sending a file with your top rated images and a line sheet. So if you could just send me this information, if you're interested, that would be wonderful.
Excellent. So if people see the opportunity on Twitter, and I'll make sure to send them over to you. So, well, I know that Alicia Dixon is downloading the app right now.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
and Gil, it's okay. Download the app and see if it changes your whole experience of fashion.
It's blue for men.
Oh, and it's blue for men. There you go. And in his picture on Twitter, he's wearing a blue shirt. So you already got his preference. So thank you so much. You've been listening to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. You can find me on the web at Cindy F. Solomon and at PRODMGMTTALK. Join us at startupproduct.com. Follow the blog. There's a calendar of upcoming events with discounts for Startup Product members, and we'll be announcing the March Startup Product San Francisco meetup and other meetup events on the calendar. And subscribe to Webcast Digest to get daily curated online free digital events for your continuous learning. And join me also for some upcoming webcasts where I'll be talking with software tools for product managers and forwarding product excellence. Thanks, BZ Lewis and Blame Sally. And if you hear growling, that is Max, my dog. He's also live in the studio with us today. So have a great week.
On a dry winter leaf, I wouldn't know love if you found me.